This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Inside Story on BFM 89.9.
Good evening, this is Inside Story with Sharmila Ganesan and Leach Whelan. Tonight, why Malaysians choose to work in Singapore.
So this comes after a recent ad went viral highlighting that there are jobs available in Changi Airport that will pay up to almost 10,000 ringgit. So first we're going to speak to a Malaysian working in Singapore to hear about what the appeal is and what it's like. And then what does Malaysia need to do to keep people working here?
So tell us, would you rather work in Malaysia or Singapore? Call 7733 2900, WhatsApp or send us a voice note at 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. This is Inside Story. It is 6:08, and our story comes from a viral advertisement, essentially in JB, offering walk-in interviews for sales assistants and customer service specialists at Changi Airport. Now, what's caught many people's attention is that it offers a salary of up to 3,000 Singapore dollars or 9,700 ringgit with a four-day work week. Now, the roles were advertised in China Press, targeted towards Malaysians as part of an international recruitment drive, to the point where people actually thought it was a scam, given that high dollar amount. But MCI Career Services has since verified the job posting. And this has, of course, opened up a healthy conversation on essentially making more if you work in Singapore.
So firstly, up to is doing a lot of heavy lifting in that sentence. So the salary is up to 3,000 Singapore dollars. Facebook users have actually also pointed out that the post is slightly misleading because the basic pay is about 1,005 to 1,007, which is a big difference. But the point still stands, right? Because for years now, we have seen or we've heard or we know that a lot of Malaysians, particularly Malaysians who reside in Johor, are choosing to work, not necessarily live, but choosing to work in Singapore. And there are a number of reasons for that, right? The primary one we often hear about really comes down to salary. Simply put, you earn more in Singapore. And if you manage your blend of living hours correctly, if you are frugal, for example, with your living expenses in the country, then this is where you can potentially see the benefits. But of course, the other question about this is, what does it say about the Malaysian job context, right? Because it isn't just Singapore. Singapore is our closest neighbour. It's perhaps the most seamless transition. But it's not as if we're not seeing Malaysians in general choosing to live and work abroad.
Yes. So if we look at just Singapore alone, an estimated 400,000 Malaysians work there, a large number of them commuting daily from Johor. But on the other hand, if we look at just overseas in general, 2 million Malaysians are currently estimated to reside overseas. And 500,000 of them are actually highly skilled individuals above the age of 25 who are more likely to be employed in various professional fields. So, you know, brain drain is the thing that people always say. But I think that when we talk about brain drain, as has come up in many conversations, even on our show, there are number of factors that come into play. Salary is a large part of it, but there are other things as well, right? Quality of life, access. And so it is actually an interesting conversation. And Singapore, I think, is both a useful and a close comparison for us to be able to make because of how relatively easy it is for people to do that, to go over to Singapore and work.
Relatively easy, and let's be frank, our shared roots are very recent. Mm-hmm. And so because of that and because of the increasing pressures of wage stagnation that we feel in this country, I think it is very easy to look across the strait and go, how come, how can? And then think, well, you know, I could also participate in that. And job advertisements like this one saying 3,000, four-day work week, you could spend the rest of your time in Johor, is increasing that temptation, right? And it's what's prompting this conversation today.
I will say, though, that the other side of this coin is the fact that migrating moving away from the place you were born or grew up in isn't always the easiest of processes. And it isn't always easy in terms of the actual process, but emotionally, your relationship-wise, I don't think that's easy either. And I often wonder how that weighs out. You know, at what point are you willing to maybe give up earning a little bit more to be able to stay closer to your family versus willing to do that and then deal with the emotional challenges of it?
Also, there are some Malaysians who just never want to give even an inch to Singapore.
There is
right?
that. Yes.
There is that. I'm just going to say it up front because it is a fact of being a Malaysian that this is something that at some point comes into play. So you were talking about emotions, and I think that is very important. Spite is also an emotion. So, you know, just throwing it into the mix.
And honestly, I mean, that is kind of our slightly insidious reason for coming up with today's question anyway. We would love to hear from you. Would you rather work in Malaysia or Singapore? You can call 7733 2900. You can voice note us 018-789-8899. You can WhatsApp us there as well. Tweet us at BFM Radio. After this, we will be speaking with a Malaysian who works in Singapore. We'll be speaking with Melissa Chew, Head of Human Capital at an American firm in Singapore. So keep it here on Inside Story, BFM 89.9.
Beyond Frivolous Matters, BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
It's 6:15. You're listening to Inside Story with Sharmila and Lynn. And today we're talking about the attraction of working abroad with a specific focus on working in Singapore. So we'd like to hear from you. Would you rather work in Malaysia or Singapore? You can call 7733 2900. Send us a voice note at 018-789-8899. WhatsApp is there as well, or tweet us at BFM Radio. Now, to kick things off, we have joining us Melissa Chew, Head of Human Capital at an American firm in Singapore. Melissa, thanks for joining us today. Firstly, tell us about yourself. What do you do? How long have you been working in Singapore?
Okay, hi. So I am currently leading the human resources functions for an American private equity firm here in Singapore. My coverage really in the firm is a regional one. So I cover Southeast Asia, Australia, and India. I've been in Singapore for about 7.5 years now.
And what was the initial draw for you?
Really, the initial draw was for me to get the regional exposure. I mean, if I take a step back and tell you a little bit about myself and my career, I had actually started my career in London after graduation, and I was there for 5 years. And what I was doing there, I was doing recruitment, covering Europe, Middle East, and Africa. And I moved back to Malaysia, and upon returning and working in Malaysia, I soon realized that a lot of what I was doing in Malaysia was more domestic in Malaysia, domestic in nature, and very focused on Malaysia. So I missed the regional exposure, and I realized that in order to do that in Asia, you either have to be based in Hong Kong or Singapore, at least, you know, for the banking industry. So yeah, that was really the pull for me to move over.
And how would you describe the work culture in Singapore? How does it contrast to Malaysia?
I think work-wise, it's very fast-paced and it's demanding. But I do also caveat this is very industry and firm dependent. So, for example, you know, because I work for an American firm, it's very normal for me to have night calls most nights or early morning calls. Whereas in Malaysia, I wouldn't have had that that need necessarily. The work environment here is also a lot more international versus that of Malaysia. So you do have people from different backgrounds, nationalities. It's definitely a lot more cosmopolitan here.
And what do you miss about Malaysia when you're there?
Family, of course. Family and friends being the big one. And I have to say food as well. You cannot get good nasi lemak in Singapore. You still have to go back for the real deal.
Yeah, fair enough. That is absolutely the truth. I think most people would agree with you. Have you found, though, that the higher salary does ultimately outweigh the cons that come with working far away from home?
I think at this point in time, if you are young, yes, the salary does outweigh the cons, I have to say. And I think that the cons really are you know, not being able to be close to family and loved ones. I think, and what I've seen is that a lot of Malaysians I know who, you know, may have lived abroad, you know, after graduation, started their careers, a lot of them end up coming back to Malaysia or, you know, Asia in general to be closer to home, mainly because of aging parents or, you know, once they start having family and kids, they want that family support. And that's when that kind of plays a lot more importance. But for me at this point in time, with no kids, you know, still fairly young and mobile, yes, I have to say the higher salary does definitely outweigh the cons.
So one issue that often comes up about living in Singapore is the rising cost of living. Is this something you've observed? And how does that compare to the kinds of comments or stories that Malaysians might share?
To be honest, I think the cost of living is rising everywhere, regardless of whether you're in Singapore, Malaysia, anywhere else. I have noticed it in everyday things like groceries or even food. But for me personally, it's still been manageable. And if I may add something controversial, I actually find the cost of living in Malaysia a lot higher than the cost of living here in Singapore. Let's take food, for example. Groceries, food. A good example that I always give people is, let's take Starbucks, right? That's available in both countries. People buy coffee in both countries. A Starbucks Frappuccino in Malaysia is like, what, 16, 17 ringgit? In Singapore, it's about $6 to $8. And if you think about, you know, salaries, for example, fresh graduates earning I don't know, what, 2,000-3,000 ringgit, spending 18 ringgit to buy a Frappuccino versus a Singaporean grad earning, let's say, you know, $3,000, spending $8 on a Frappuccino. I think that's kind of where I'm looking at.
And what about when it comes to things like education and healthcare? As a Malaysian, how accessible are these services?
Healthcare, I think, is pretty accessible. Essentially, they have public and private healthcare. Most people that I do know, depending on, I guess, what kind of firms they work, they do have private insurance from the firm, which allows them to go into private healthcare. We also, in terms of education, that is something that if you are a foreigner, will you get access to local schools? Yes, you do. However, you may not be top of the list. So what that means is if you have a specific school in mind that you want to send your kid to, unfortunately, you would kind of be at the bottom of the draw. But that doesn't mean that you don't get access to sending your kids to school here. You do. It's just that you may not be able to pick where you send them versus a local.
So, Melissa, it sounds like you've had a positive experience. And we do, though, often hear quite polarizing views from Malaysians who have migrated to Singapore. Some people seem to love it, others hate it. Why do you think this elicits such strong feelings?
I have actually heard both views. I do have friends who, you know, don't like it as much as I do. I think if you do come over with preconceived notions and a mentality of always comparing the two countries, you're bound to have, you know, strong feelings. And oftentimes where I've heard, I guess, more negative emotions or negative views tends to be when one compares both locations. Essentially, they are two different countries. You've got to look at them as two different places.
And based on your experience, are most Malaysians eager to find employment across the causeway? I mean, besides a higher salary, what are they looking for?
I would say yes. I have met a number of Malaysians who do want to find opportunities here in Singapore. And I do think, other than salary, the main other thing that they're looking for is exposure. In terms of the types of work that is available in Singapore, the types of firms they operate out of Singapore.
And from an employer's perspective, are there benefits to hiring Malaysians?
Personally, I do think Malaysians are a hardworking lot. I have heard that Malaysians are also very eager, very hungry to learn, you know, very good attitude, very good nature. So those things kind of lead you very far, you know, in the work environment here.
And what does it take for a Malaysian to succeed in Singapore? Does it take a certain type of mindset?
I think for anyone, not just Malaysians, to succeed, I think you do need a good attitude towards work. So you need to have good communication skills, be comfortable in speaking up, be resilient, you know, not only just work hard, but also work smart. So when I talk about working smart, it's, you know, doing things like going out of your way, go and build relationships, go and network, you know, put your hands up for things that will give you exposure to new skill sets. You know, even though it may not be on your job description, it may not be part of your day-to-day role, those are all qualities that will, you know, will help you succeed in the workplace, regardless of whether you're Malaysian or not.
And do you see yourself settling down in Singapore indefinitely?
At this point in time, I say yes, but I do want to caveat, I am not close to the idea of going back to Malaysia. I think at this point, it just really needs the right opportunity. For me, a career is very important for me, so the right role would be very important for me to go back at this point in time. Something that would be able to give me a regional, if not global, exposure based out of Malaysia, that would be very key for me back in Malaysia, and also the right circumstance or situation for my family. And I guess from a personal perspective, having the right, I guess, support networks in Malaysia as well to, you know, raise a family, raise kids, those sorts of things.
Melissa, thanks for speaking with us today. That was Melissa Chu, a Malaysian in Singapore who works as the head of human capital at an American firm. And we've been talking about that pull towards working in Singapore across the causeway because of a job ad that went viral with a pretty attractive salary package for working in Changi Airport. And so we've been asking you, what is that pull factor, and would you rather work in Malaysia or Singapore? You can call 7733 2900. You can send us a voice note. We're getting plenty already at 018-789-8899. You can also WhatsApp us there, of course, and you can tweet us at BFM Radio. I believe we do have a caller on the line. Good evening, Amil. What are your thoughts?
Hi, good evening, ladies. Well, actually, as a person who's not just considering the higher potential pay in terms of migrating to a country like Singapore, as you guys mentioned, there are so many other factors, right? Quality of life, education of children, so on and so forth. But however, it's just that Singapore effect, right? Being the nationalistic Malaysians that we are sometimes, I mean, it's always that thought of other country, okay, but why Singapore, right? So that is something for me that you should put aside as well, because the most important thing, my advice to anyone out there, the most important thing is you got to think of your family and what is important to you, right? So even if it does mean sometimes that sacrifice of, you know, going away from your family, your friends, but, you know, your core family, to me, I think, is the most important thing. So yeah, those are my thoughts.
Amil, what about, what keeps you in Malaysia? I'm curious.
Okay, well, personally, currently, I'm in a job. I'm doing a sales role that's very much based in Malaysia, but I'm very open to be based in other countries as well. So I guess it's that fear of, you know, going to another country. But I mean, I've got children who are growing up, and you know, we won't talk about the current education system, but that's where my mindset is. Like, you know, once they are of an age that they're ready to go into primary or secondary education, you know, that's something that's always looming at the back of my head, you know?
Amil, thank you for your thoughts. And do keep yours coming through as well. You can call 7733 2900, send us a voice note, 018-789-8899, WhatsApp us or tweet us at BFM Radio. I think we have time for some messages.
So let's look at this one from an anonymous listener who says, we have a few anonymous listeners, but this particular person says, Singapore, of course, the reason I'm still in Malaysia is not because of patriotism. It's just my skills don't align with Singapore's requirements. Imagine you still get $4 food in Singapore. In Klang Valley, it costs 10 plus. Earning is almost the same, just different currency. 90% of Singaporeans are able to buy houses, but Malaysia, forget about it. With peanut wages, no way.
Those, I think, really hit a lot of the points that people make, right, that pushes them towards making the choice to migrate. And I think those are really valid ones. I mean, being able to invest long term in a place to live, not spending a huge portion of your salary towards the cost of living. These are very attractive options.
The other anonymous listener says, I worked in Singapore before. Malaysia is way better in terms of respect between peers. Local Singaporeans expect Malaysian foreign workers to do more hours, workload and work that the locals do not want.
That is an interesting perspective and also perhaps not quite unheard of. I think it also might depend what industry you're in, what level you're working at, and just generally the work culture in your particular space.
In your field,
yeah.
Right? Because it is going to depend. And I think it also depends on what role you accepted, whether it is the role that even in Malaysia would be seen in that way. But to be fair, the Singaporean work culture, that point is also something that I've heard made by Singaporeans themselves, in fact.
Do keep your thoughts coming. Would you rather work in Malaysia or Singapore? You can call 77732900. You can WhatsApp or send us a voice note, 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio. After this, we'll continue listening to your calls, your messages and reading, listening to your voice notes and reading your messages. So keep it here on Inside Story, BFM 89.9.
Business, finance and music, BFM 89.9.
Would love to hear from you. This comes from a viral ad that offered a really attractive salary package for people to work in Changi Airport, supposedly up to 10,000 ringgit. And so, would you prefer to work in Malaysia or Singapore? You can call 77732900. Send us a voice note, 018-789-8899. You can WhatsApp us there as well and tweet us at BFM Radio. Let's start with a voice note from Ben.
I think for me, someone who's going to be graduating soon, I'll definitely choose Singapore over Malaysia. I think the career progression or pay that I'll get in Singapore, not many Malaysia companies can compete. Of course, if I could, I would choose Malaysia, but, you know, in terms of pay, in terms of livability, when you look at public transportation, even Singapore is better. I think the only downside is really the cost of living. But yeah, the food I can definitely live with. It's not a big problem.
I love that final little, the food's not great, but I can live with it.
So career progression is an interesting thing to bring up, isn't it? Because that along with, I return to this, wage stagnation, because pay is such a huge thing, are two things that come up a lot. And I think that if you are a mid-career professional in Malaysia, then this is something that you would definitely have experienced, that you look around and think, well, oh, okay, so at this company, I appear to have maxed out. I'm not sure where else there is to go. If I go somewhere else, I'm going to see the same sorts of problems. And so that idea of career progression and exposure, I think, is an important one.
It was a point that our guest earlier brought up as well, Melissa Chu, when she talked about, in particular industries especially, that you get more opportunities, you get more exposure. For instance, being a financial centre is a big draw if you're in, say, finance or banking, right? I think we have time for another voice note. Let's listen to this one from Nina.
So I think in terms of labour rights, I would prefer working in Singapore just because everything would be documented on paper and you would probably be compensated if you do work extra. But of course, this depends on like which sector you're working in. We all know there are certain sectors which goes under the radar. But as a whole, I think working in Singapore, you tend to get compensated more equally according to your work than in comparison to Malaysia.
Thank you for that, Nina. I think that's actually a really interesting point in terms of fair compensation. And I wonder again whether that's something that extends across industries and whether everyone might feel that way.
Oh, the thing that I thought was interesting, Nina, about what you said was actually that point about documentation. And considering the reasons why Malaysia's labour market has been in the headlines recently and thinking about the ways in which that might affect, I mean, interesting, right? Because previously, we always thought about it in terms of the sender countries. We were always worried that for the countries who usually send us labor, that it's going to be perceived this way. But this is clearly somebody who lives here is looking around and going, well, even so, if I went to another country, things would be more transparent and I might therefore be better protected. And I think that's quite telling.
It's quite telling. And it's also something that not many people perhaps directly think about, right? When you talk about migrating and what the challenges might be. Do keep those thoughts coming. You can send us a voice note. It's 018-789-8899. You can WhatsApp us there as well. You can, of course, call us, 7733-2900, or tweet us at BFM Radio. Let's look at some of the messages that are coming through. I think we actually have plenty, both pro and cons.
So, okay, you tell me, what do we want to start with, pro or con?
Let's start with some cons, since our voice notes were specifically about why it's better to work in Singapore.
Thank you for saying that, because I really wanted to get to this one from Raj, who says, I can't work in Singapore because I have a heart.
Oh, I don't know how to respond to that. I'm trying to be fair, but I can understand. I don't know.
Where's the patriotism trying to be fair? No, okay. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. In all seriousness, right, I think that there is definitely, like I said earlier, a layer of anywhere but Singapore for some Malaysians. And that really has to do with the cousin slash sibling behavior, the shared history, the some might say superiority, others might say inferiority complex, depending on which side of the strait you're at. But yeah, I think for some people, that's just, it's as simple as that. It's just no to Singapore.
May I make a slightly more serious point, though? The economic benefits aside, the perhaps the more structured system aside, that mention of heart to me also relates to particular things that we assume are better in an economically superior country like Singapore, but to me are not. Things like freedom of speech or these recent headlines about the death penalty, for instance. And so for me, part of the challenge is squaring off the, is it enough to be earning more, but to then live in a country that in some ways is not necessarily societally or in terms of approach to progressive values, very much more advanced than ours.
No, perhaps a little better at hiding it though.
Mm.
Yeah, so that's what it is. We also have a pair of messages questioning the salary that was promised, which is 3,000 Singapore dollars, right? Stephen says, you know, 10,000 ringgit, 3,000, it's just enough for you to live from month to month. So look before you leap. Good luck. Bui says, up to 3,000 Singapore dollars is nothing. Room rental in Singapore is already starting off at 1K per month, not to mention that working in Singapore is a pressure cooker.
That is actually a great point. I think worth saying that the jobs being offered are in, from what I can tell, customer service, guest relations, and so on. So I think there is an argument to be made that depending on which industry you make in, perhaps the remuneration will be more than worth making the shift.
Also, for some people, it's a daily commute, right? Because
yeah,
we're talking about working in Singapore, not necessarily living in Singapore. So Johor is a big state, so admittedly, this is not for everyone. But I think that depending on how you arrange your time, depending on how you do it, there is a possibility that you're not necessarily 100% committed to that cost of living in Singapore.
We're not just going to talk about the cons of living in Singapore. We have many pro messages as well.
Yes, yes.
We will get to them after this, but do keep those thoughts coming. You can call 7733-2900, send us a voice note, 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio, WhatsApp us as well, and we'll continue the conversation after this. The question we're asking is, would you rather work in Malaysia or Singapore? Keep your thoughts coming and keep it here on Inside Story, BFM 89.9.
Bring forth Moolah, BFM 89.9.
It's 6:48. You're listening to Inside Story with Sharmila and Lynn. And we are trying to remain very neutral in this conversation. One of us is pretending. One of us is flat out not interested in remaining neutral. But we're taking all opinions. Would you rather work in Malaysia or Singapore? You can call 7733-2900. You can send us a voice note at 018-789-8899. You can send us a WhatsApp at that number as well. And you can tweet us at BFM Radio. And we have plenty of thoughts. I think we can start with some voice notes on this side of things. We have this from Elaine.
Hi, my name is Elaine, and in my opinion, working in Singapore is great because of the career opportunities and exposure I can get over here, especially because I'm working in the skincare industry. In Malaysia, it's really hard to find a position within a brand because many of the brand offices aren't located in Malaysia, whereas there are some that are in Singapore, which I've managed to find. So it gives me very good work experience when it comes to working directly on the brand side, and I get to see how the whole business is run, which is really good experience in terms of expanding in the skincare industry.
Thank you for that, Elaine. I think it does go back to, with some industries, with some careers, there are just more opportunities in a place like Singapore, which is really a regional economic centre.
I've given this thought before. And I think that a lot of people would have for this exact reason. When you look around at companies and exposure and the possibility of different type of career with different types of companies, very often they're a closest neighbor, they're a huge economic hub, so you look across and you think, wow. And again, it really depends on your chosen industry. So in the media, I suppose, media Singapore is a whole other conversation, but when it comes to something like banking, or when it comes to something like cosmetics, I would imagine, right, that's absolutely something that would come up, and hence what we're hearing from Elaine.
So if we look at other reasons why people have chosen to stay, in the meantime, actually do keep those voice notes coming. You can send them to us, 018-789-8899. You can also call us, 7733-2900, WhatsApp us. You can tweet us at BFM Radio. In terms of other reasons why people may choose to work in Singapore, we have, Jeremiah saying, I would prefer to work in Singapore, no racial discrimination, no corrupt politicians. That's actually interesting, Jeremiah. No corrupt politicians, I think, is something that admittedly does come up a fair bit. No racial discrimination, though. I would say perhaps not necessarily the case, especially if you look at a lot of the discourse that you hear online when it comes to how minorities in Singapore might feel.
Yes, but again, they talk a good game. So it really depends on, I suppose, who you're speaking to and where you're going to for that sort of information. Because if you just look at Singapore's official communication, they are very much leaning heavily on Muhibahness as well, as Malaysia does. So, you know, infer from that what you will. We do also have Billy, who says, I would go to Singapore or anywhere to have a broader perspective in my career and life. So again, we're coming back to that idea of broadening. And, you know, just on a personal note, I think that this really depends on where you are in your career. We've also had a few people say that. Our guest earlier, Melissa, brought up that being younger and unattached and child-free at this moment in life, for example, makes it easier to have those kinds of calls. Similarly, we heard earlier from Ben talking about being a fresh grad and therefore thinking at this point, what do I want? And so, yeah, this idea of a broader perspective, I think, very much changes as you move along and your obligations shift.
We have two people making very similar points. William says, working in Singapore versus Malaysia, meritocracy. Lok says, for those who say Singapore is a pressure cooker or too stressed, it's because Singapore doesn't tolerate people being lazy. Why do you think they're miles ahead? It's 100% meritocracy. Learn the meaning of it for the sake of your grandchildren.
They're also miles ahead. Okay, no, I'm not going to make that argument. I was going to make the size argument. It doesn't need to be made. It's not fair. I know that. Sorry, knee jerk. But I think this notion of meritocracy is, it's a tough one, isn't it? I'm not sure that we can ever have a conversation about why Malaysia is the way we are without someone bringing up meritocracy. And I don't have a response to that other than to say it's difficult to hear it brought up over and over again, because it also says year after year that nothing much is changing.
Before we move on to people who would rather stay in Malaysia, I did want to read this one from Farid, who says, maybe it would be easier for me to watch my waist if I work in Singapore, you know, because their food is not as good as ours.
I What I love about this, Farid, is you drove a stake through the heart and then you decided it wasn't enough and you needed to like chop off the head. You know, it's like I've already made the joke, but now I just need to make sure that everybody knows what I'm saying. The food is not as good. We usually get at least one Singapore food defender, usually when we talk about Singapore. We're still waiting.
Yes, I mean, I'm not sure if there is a defense to be made for red Maggi goreng, though, to be honest. I'm not sure there is.
Someone will make it. Don't worry.
Let's see. Do keep those thoughts coming. In the meanwhile, would you rather live or work in Singapore? You can call us 7733-2900. Send us a voice note 018-789-8899. You can WhatsApp us. You can tweet us at BFM Radio. Now on to the ones who would prefer to stay in Malaysia.
So, Squatting Sasquatch says, the fantasy of working abroad is tempting, but I've come to a point in my life where I will just go back to my hometown Penang, where I could still have a good paying job, good education, and the best bit, Penang's great food.
Well, you could argue that you can drive down to Penang from Singapore as well.
Drive up. Yeah, but, you know, I think about this a fair amount because I am a child of two people who weren't from Kuala Lumpur. They were two people who moved to KL for their jobs, met, got married, and had children. And so because of that, when I visit their hometowns, I do often think about what it would have been like if they'd stayed. And for that matter, what it would have been like if I were raised in either Ipoh or Bentong. And therefore, what I would have done, how much I would be able to earn, you know, and all that. And because of that, and because of this, I suppose, exercise in scenario creation, I do sometimes think there are some cities where, especially if you work in a, for example, creative industry, that you could perhaps make a living or still have a good paying job and so on, good food, good quality of life. And then there are some states and cities in which that's not the case. Depending on your industry, it's just not going to happen unless you start a business. And the argument could be made that you should in order to, you know, grow the state, in order to contribute back to your hometown, things like that. But it is a hard conversation.
This one from V is interesting. So they say, I don't have experience working in Singapore. However, I did hunt for a job there a couple of months. And oddly, there's this strange sense of deja vu that hits you after you've walked by those many identical HDBs and turning corners, which makes me feel like a disarray of development back in my hometown wasn't such a bad thing. Odd reason to love, I know.
It's not odd. It's not odd at all. I think that when you grow up with the variety of landscapes that we get in Malaysia, sometimes Singapore is also small. So after a while, it does start to feel like tree, HDB. And so I understand the feeling. We also have this from Lukman, who says, if you're single and only focused on getting higher pay, then yes, work in Singapore for a few years. If you no longer have those reasons, then Malaysia is a much better choice and a more relaxing country to work and live in. I wanted to read that because of the word relaxing.
Yes, because actually a number of other messages are pointing out using words like rat race and stress and all that, right? So, yes. And actually, Lukman, your message reflects a lot of people I know who may not necessarily have a family in Singapore, but who are single and are thinking of exactly that. I will work there, but eventually I want to come back to Malaysia, which is also one option, right? Because it's almost like the best of both worlds.
Or the commute, again, you know, because we're talking about working, not necessarily living or migrating to Singapore. Just, would you rather work there? Is the work culture, the pay enough for you to say, yes, I will brave the red mee goreng for lunch and do this thing?
Keep those thoughts coming. Would you rather work or live? Would you rather work in Singapore or Malaysia? You can call 7733-2900. You can send us a voice note 018-789-8899. You can WhatsApp us there as well. You can tweet us at BFM Radio. We will be continuing the conversation after this. We'll get to your messages. We'll also speak with Imran Lee, who is a consulting manager at Asia Recruit, about what we could be doing to make ourselves an attractive place to work. So keep it here on Inside Story, BFM 89.9.
Bringing fresh meaning, BFM 89.9.
It is 7:07. You're listening to Inside Story with Sharmila and Lynn. And we've been talking about whether you would rather work in Malaysia or Singapore. Do keep sending your thoughts through. That number to call, 7732900. WhatsApp or voice note us, 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio. We will very shortly be speaking about what Malaysia could be doing better, really, to retain our talent. But I think before that, we can look at, frankly, a huge number of voice notes that have suddenly come through. Let's start with this from Chris.
Who says Singapore's food is not as good as Malaysia? Have they tried the katong laksa and bak chor mee over there? I would say that even their mixed rice, the dishes has fresher produce and better quality ingredients. So they better go there and experience it before making such comment. Thank you.
Hear that, Sharmila? Did you hear that?
So actually, to be fair, firstly, thank you, Chris. But to be fair, there's plenty of food in Singapore I like. I realise that my frustration is when it is a version of something we get here that I don't think is done as well. But I love bak chor mee. I love chili crab, for instance. So there are many Singaporean foods that I'm quite excited to have.
I really just love, who says it's not good?
I know, the tone.
You go
though.
There and try. No, but I think also to go back to the psychological, spiritual roots of all of it, you know, it just comes down to whatever you can do, we can do better, right? And I think that that's often where the food thing stems from, partly because we take so much pride in our food and it's like the one consistent thing that Malaysians will agree on as we do this really well. Hence the, how dare you, bak chor mee, you know, be damned. It's all about us.
You know, and at risk of making this sound superficial, I think the food conversation is actually quite reflective of the things that we feel attached to about home, right? Because the one thing I hear many people who have migrated talk about tends to be the food. And that's because food has associations with memory and family and nostalgia. And there are just some things you cannot recreate somewhere else, even apparently just down the causeway, across the causeway.
Yeah, that's basically it.
We have this from Girish as well.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that it's basically, there's this story about a woman who was in Singapore, who was a Singapore resident, and the book is basically about how she became homeless and, you know, had to sort of fend for herself, and eventually becomes, she eventually finds a way to becoming an entrepreneur. And, you know, after a lot of adversity, and it's sort of, you know, some of the things you guys are talking about, it shines some light on, you know, that things are not exactly perfect, you know, but it's kind of a story about someone who finds good people who help her out of that situation, in spite of the bureaucracy and the red tape and all that stuff that she has to go through. It's a great book. It's called Homeless. And yeah, and you know, yeah, and again, it's about people and it's about how, you know, overcoming adversity, you know, takes a concerted effort regardless of which country you're in.
Girish, thank you for that. Firstly, we always enjoy good book recommendations. Do keep your voice notes coming in the meantime. You can send them to us at 018-789-8899. If you'd like, you can also give us a call, 7732900. You can WhatsApp us as well and tweet us at BFM Radio. I really like that point about thinking about it not so much in terms of benefits or what you leave behind, but in a sense, there are challenges practically everywhere you go. And it is really a matter of maybe weighing out what it is you might want to do. And I love that point about finding good people.
So there are some substantive comments coming in, and then there are some jokes. I'd like to do a mix. So let's start with Shamsul, who says, I worked there from 2007 to 2014. To sum up, meritocracy is being practiced there. I'm a Malay-Malaysian minority times two, but But my career still advanced. However, it's crowded everywhere you go. Kiasu is real, and my experience is that cost of living is still higher if you reside there. I commuted daily with a Singapore plate. Car from JB is okay. Depending on the stage of your career, you can go far to gain experience and later for career advancement. But I left because of family, especially when Johor changed Friday, being the weekend off. I could see my kids only on Saturday afternoons. They also go to school for extra classes on Saturday morning, and then school was Sunday to Thursday. My wife is also a teacher. So I think that is, thank you for sharing, Shamsul, but also that absolutely encapsulates, I think, what it can be like commuting and the challenges that are present.
I also love that really practical insight into what it might mean, because things like because of the weekend shift, you only get to see your kids on a Saturday afternoon. Those are things that I really wouldn't have thought of, to be honest.
Especially with the weekend shift, right? I think that that's a big one. Meanwhile, K. John says, I visited Singapore a couple of times. The people there look miserable. Like I said, a mix.
A mix. And also, I will say, though, thoroughly not a neutral opinion. We have Intan saying, I'm employed by a Singaporean company, paid in Singapore dollars, but I'm permanently working from home in KL. Best of both worlds?
Probably. I've seen a lot of jobs offering that. And I would imagine that, yeah, I mean, provided your work culture is good, it's quite a sweet deal. Back to jokes. Cameroon, if I work in Singapore, I don't think I get to lepak mamak at all.
Singapore has mamaks, Cameroon.
They're not that great, though.
Okay. There was me trying to be kind, but...
No, they have them. You can theoretically do it. But I think that... Mamak is a way of life, right? It's a mindset, it's a style. There's a lot of stuff involved in lepak mamak beyond it's there and you can go.
Yes, and also, you know, I'm just going to go back to the red Maggi goreng and the prata that is actually roti canai, which, I mean, really makes a mamak. I'm just... We have, I think, time for another voice note. We have this from George.
Hi BFM, I'm George. I'm working in tech. I think I would always encourage young people to go to Singapore to work, especially in tech, because that's where all the tech companies are headquartered. Your Facebook and Google and all are all there. And even the best tech startups are all in Singapore. It's always better to work in Singapore as a youngster. I think that's probably the starting salary. The best should be $5,000 if you could start in Singapore with that amount. Everything else below that would just be too low. So I guess that will be it. And always come back to Malaysia to contribute once you have gathered the knowledge from the Singaporeans.
Thank you for that. I think, that really does speak to... the tech-specific industries, industries like banking, again, which I think offer numerous opportunities that perhaps we are not quite there yet. And I think almost leads us quite nicely to what we're going to be talking about after this, which is what do we need to be doing to keep our talent here?
Absolutely. But the other thing I wanted to say is about coming back. And I think that this is something that a lot of people accept. That when their family members and friends go abroad, sometimes they go abroad, they meet someone, get married and settle. And that's fine. That's part and parcel of the flow of people across borders, across nations. But that, I think, is a very real reason why a lot of people who leave with every intention of returning to Malaysia don't.
Keep those thoughts coming. You can call us 7733 2900. You can send us a voice note at 018-789-8899. You can WhatsApp us there as well. You can tweet us at BFM Radio. We're asking you, would you rather work in Malaysia or Singapore? After this, we are going to be joined by our guest, we're going to be joined by Imran Lee, consulting manager at Asia Recruit, who will be speaking to us about what we could be doing better to retain talent. So keep it here on Inside Story, BFM 89.9.
Because freedom matters, BFM 89.9.
It is 7:17. You're listening to Inside Story with Sharmila and Lynn. And we've been spending an hour now discussing the pros and cons of staying in Malaysia or going to Singapore, particularly when it comes to work. And so we love to keep hearing from you. We're getting so many thoughts on both sides of the fence. Would you rather work in Malaysia or Singapore? Keep them coming. You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp, or send us a voice note at 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio. Now, to answer the question of what Malaysia could be doing better to keep our talent, we're joined by Imran Lee, Consulting Manager from Asia Recruit. Imran, welcome to the show.
Hi, Lynn. Hi, Shamila. How are you guys?
We're good, thank you. Our callers have brought up a number of things, really. Wages, exposure, opportunity, meritocracy. In your experience, what are some of the main reasons Malaysians leave and seek jobs in Singapore?
I think the most clear one would be, I think based on one of the notes that was I listened earlier, would be the exchange rate of 3.2, which is very, very tempting and attractive. And most large MNCs, APEC offices are in Singapore. So if you're a young talent, like mentioned earlier, it will add value to an individual's profile. So that's how I look at it.
And how has more Malaysians choosing to work abroad impacted the country, really? And specifically, how does it impact Johor?
If it's in overall for the country, I would say it's a lack of talent, specifically in the IT industry, where coders are very much in demand. And Singapore tech companies are taking advantage of this, okay, to be specific. And aside to that, even blue collars, like probably in retail and SMBs, are being tapped because of the exchange rate. And if you look at it in an overall perspective, there's a lack of manpower in the executive and non-executive spectrum is what our countries and even specific JB is facing at this moment, Lynn Shamila.
So, simply put then, yep. Where are we falling short? What does Malaysia need to be doing to retain our talent?
I would feel that we need to have a good returning expert programs from the grassroots level. Good students being brought back. You know, I think there are some initiatives already in place by probably the central bank and things like that. But not only from students, but the grassroots and also the senior talents, where we need to emphasize this very much. Probably there should be more being done for this to happen. And at the same time, you know, we need to have political stability for foreign investors to come in. And this would actually, you know, have our talents more confident to stay in our country.
So one thing that a number of messages and a number of listeners have brought up is this notion of experience, exposure, being at a financial center.
Right.
How can we make up for that? How do we get there, essentially?
If you were to ask me, I mean, I would say that we need to ensure that our talents are being like tapped from the very beginning. You know, if they are really good talents, you know, we need them to actually have initiatives to make them come back, start a good program, you know, a good management training program, things like that, right? So when they come back to Malaysia, you know, there will be a plan for them to actually grow and excel in wherever they are, be it the financial industry, be it.
So another thing that's been coming through loud and clear with the calls, yep, and the messages is that for many people, it's a lot of sentimental or family reasons to stay in Malaysia, not so much career really, or even money. Ultimately, right, is that enough of a pool to rely on to retain Malaysians in Malaysia?
If we were to put it in, probably I would say in the sandwich generation, if I were to put it correctly, right? It's really subjective, this question, because it really depends on the financial situation of a particular family. Again, you know, if he or she is currently in a very stable environment, then obviously, you know, Malaysia's place to be. But, you know, sometimes getting a salary which is three times more than what you can earn over here, I would personally say that that would drive them abroad to actually work and come back later after saving enough money, probably.
If I may flip a little bit, we all, yep, know Singaporeans who choose to work in Malaysia instead. What's the draw for them?
Okay, this is also a very subjective one, because I look at it as there are more investors from Singapore startups actually coming here rather than employees, right? Because obviously it's cost effective, it's a bigger market to tap in, you know, and if you look at it from the employee standpoint, to be honest, we don't, like even from our side, you know, we have a lot of, we don't really have a lot of Singaporeans to actually come to Malaysia, but more of Singapore companies to start up in Malaysia and investing from the tech side, IT side.
Imran, what message would you like to leave us with?
Well, to be honest, I've listened to the podcast from start, and I personally feel that, you know, it would be good, you know, if you're a young talent to go abroad, gain the experience, right? But always come back to Malaysia where, you know, the country is where you need to contribute to the country. And, you know, there's so many things in Malaysia where, you know, from the young to the senior talents, right? There's so much more that can be done for our country. Our country can be in a better shape if all of us put our hands together to make it happen.
Imran, thanks for speaking with us today.
Thank you. Have a good day.
That was Imran Lee, consulting manager from Asia Recruit, speaking to us on what Malaysia could be doing better to keep our talent here. And that's because we've been talking about whether you'd rather work in Malaysia or Singapore. And keep those thoughts coming. You can call 77732900. You can send us a voice note at 018-789-8899. You can WhatsApp us there as well. You can tweet us at BFM Radio. And we still have plenty of messages.
We do. So, let's start with Wei Yang, who says, being a fresh grad, I would choose to kick off my career in Malaysia for a couple of years to gain experience because I believe Malaysia is a better training ground. You might be taking up a few roles at work and then only to Singapore to get a high starting pay and greater career progression. Really interesting. Also, every time I hear a fresh grad with a clear five-year plan, I want to look back. I look back upon my fresh grad self and want to say, get your act together. Why don't you think like this?
Honestly, when I graduated, did I think about how to kick off my career? Where should I gather experience? And then what is the plan after that? Did I? No, I did not. I don't even know if I really think it now.
So the other thing, though, Wei Yang, that's really interesting is that you have found, I think, a bit of a silver lining on something that people complain about here, which is where your role spreads, where in a role creep, I think is what it's called, where you sign up for one job description and before you know it, you're doing 1,000 other things. And to view it as a good training ground because you get to take up a few roles at work, I think is a huge silver lining. It's interesting also, I would not have considered Malaysia as a training ground necessarily.
Chong Kiat says, I'm a professional in Malaysia. I could easily be earning 5 times more in Singapore, but the fact that I can see my parents weekly here is worth staying in KL. To migrate to Singapore now is actually a downgrade of living standard for me if I were to maintain the same living conditions that I have here in KL. Actually, a couple of interesting things there. On the one hand, definitely the pull of family, the as you said, sandwich generation wanting to stay close to your parents. On the other hand, this is something I've heard from people who migrate not just to Singapore but to other places. The fact that often you have to kind of take a step down, not just in living standards, but sometimes even in your career, because you have to sort of prove yourself all over again. You might have to take a position that is slightly lower than what you were used to before, which depending on where you are in life, you may not want to do.
So Lok on the flip side says, in my experience with friends and schoolmates, and then this is in caps, nobody comes back. Coming back means a 4-step backwards, downwards. So very much two sides of the same coin here, right? This idea of an upgrade or a downgrade and where you are in your career and life and whether you're willing to accept that. You know, it's very much a risk reward question, which I think always comes up when we're talking about migration.
We have Crispy Bacon saying, Singapore and Johor don't know how to make bak kut teh. It's either a pepper soup or it has sotong and fish balls. Can't wait for AirAsia Food to enable me to send them klang bak kut teh.
Interesting that Johor is getting slapped.
I know.
You know, before this, we were maintaining our national borders, but now it's becoming state and regional. I'm here for it. I mean, I'm not from Johor, so I'm fine. We also have this from Benji, who says, I've worked in Singapore and Brunei. Both have the same exchange rate, but Brunei is tax-free, so a 5,000 Singapore dollar salary is all mine, no deductions. Singapore has levies and other deductions. Brunei also offered me an expatriate status with a company car, rented a house for me and my family, education for my kids. Singapore, no such deal. Work-life balance and traffic is better in Brunei as well. It's boring, but it's good for a working family man to save money. Young punks enjoy Singaporean lifestyle, but at a huge cost.
Oh, those are some really interesting points. I would have almost thought the opposite, that Singapore is actually comfortable for people who want to kind of settle down and have like a more mature lifestyle, I wanted to say, where else, quote unquote, young punks might find a city like KL more exciting.
I also, we haven't had that many people messaging in to talk about being at this particular stage of being a working family, you know, man or woman. Instead, we're hearing about people thinking about their parents, or often on the flip side of that, people who have fewer attachments, who are younger. So it's really interesting to hear from somebody who's in that period of like growing career, growing family.
Just to close off, I think it's fair to look at those who are saying, I would work in Singapore. We have, let's see. We have Andrew who's saying, if I could turn back time, I would definitely migrate. If I'd been there for 10 years at least, I would have been earning a lot more compared to the meager sum here. And that's actually coming through from a number of people about just earning capacity.
Siva Kumar says, my friend who has been working in Singapore for the longest time hates the food, but laughs every month when he looks at his bank account and an additional bonus whenever the ringgit weakens, which is a great point. And also the whole laughing every month thing is so villainous. I love it. The idea that you wait for payday and it's like, wah-ha-ha.
I know. It's like Maggie Goreng, look at all this money I have in my account. Keep those thoughts coming. Would you rather work in Malaysia or Singapore? You can call us 7733 2900. You can send us a voice note or WhatsApp us 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio. After this, we'll be wrapping up the headlines of the week. So keep it here, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.